About Proverbs chapter 3. We're going there this morning. We, of course, have been focused on the things of God's Word regarding healing recently, I guess for quite a while. And I don't believe there's a day that goes by where I don't consider God's Word on the subject and to continue to build my heart's believing in this great field. And I thought I would share some thoughts on healing with you this morning. One thing that I was thinking of is this, the promise of health and healing. You know, that it is a promise of God to us. And we know that from God's Word, principally, that if God makes a promise to us, then we can expect Him to back up that promise. We can claim that promise because He's promised it. If I promise you that I'm going to do something for you, don't you expect me to do it?
Yes.
Sure. And that's the whole thing with the promises of God. You know, God has provided for us in His Word great and exceeding precious promises, right? Healing and health is certainly one of them. And it's not something that only became available with Jesus Christ. It's something that God had made available to His people all along. If we look at Proverbs 3, we see this great promise. Verse 1, "My son, forget not my law." And law is put there for all of His word, everything to do with His word. Okay? "But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee." Keeping those words, keeping God's Word within our hearts and minds has great benefit. Right here, it's length of days and long life and peace. You know, not having to live with fear and turmoil, but being peaceful all of those days that we do live. Right? Length of days, long life, and having life peacefully. Isn't that nice? That's nice. That's life without Jesus Christ. Without the Redeemer having done what He did. We continue to read. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." You know, mercy being one of the great subjects of God's Word. You know, God provided His Word so that we can know Him. One of His great attributes is His mercy. His mercy is the withholding of righteous judgment. When He looks at us and says, "Oh, you dodo heads, you knuckleheads," He withholds that righteous judgment. That's mercy. It's, as a matter of fact, has to do with healing as well. If we continue to read, "Don't let mercy and truth forsake thee." In other words, don't let them escape you. You're the one that determines whether you hold on to God's mercy and a knowledge of it. The knowledge of God's mercy. That God is merciful. He's not vengeful to you, because you love God. He's got great mercy for us. Don't let those things escape you. Don't let them forsake you. "Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." You know, you embed them into your heart. You embed those words of His truth, His mercy. You take care of it. You put it in your heart. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Look at what it's encouraging us to do. Consider His Word. Don't let the truth of His Word escape you, forsake you. You hold on to it. You put your head and heart into it. Don't forget what He's spoken in His law. "Be not wise," verse 7 says, "in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You know, to have respect for God is what the word fear means. Not to be afraid of Him, but to respect Him. You know, when we consider God and we consider the reality that He spoke in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's a power to be awestruck by. That's a power to reverence, to respect. That's our God. That's what fear means. to have respect, not to be afraid of him, but to have respect to him and depart from evil. Look at what verse 8 says. And it shall be what?
Health
to thy navel. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The word marrow there is nourishment or refreshment. You know, it's like when you're totally parched and dried out and you get a refreshing drink. It's refreshment to you, to your bones. Your bones are refreshed. You know, our bones represent our physical body, our physical stature. You know, it's refreshing to that, and it's health to our navel. Navel represents that core of our life, doesn't it? That's where our life emanated from to begin with. You know, that we look at our little belly button and we realize, if we know a little bit about the human body, that's where we were connected in our mother's womb. That's where we were provided with that nourishment for our bodies to grow and develop in our mother's wombs. Well, it says it's health to that. It represents that core issue of your life. It's healing. Health is the word healing. To take the word on and to not let it go, to consider it always, to not let it forsake us, is healing. That's healing. In and of itself, the word is healing when we believe it. See, healing and health has been a promise that God has made to His people for a long time. This is a promise. This is what people should expect. Even in the Old Testament. And you know, when you consider some of the other things that we're going to consider, look at Proverbs 4, we'll see some of the reasons why in the Gospels so many people came to Jesus Christ expecting Him. Once they'd heard that He was healing people, they came to Him in droves, expecting to be healed. And it says that He healed everyone. It wasn't something that they had to wrestle with in their minds, because they knew that the promise of health and healing had been there from God Almighty for a long, long time. A long time. In Proverbs 4, verse 20, another great verse, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." You know, again, once again, pay attention to God's word. You know, hear it. You know, attend to it. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Health, healing to all their flesh. "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The New King James reads, "Out of it spring the issues of life." You know, as a spring flows, you know, it's kind of that sense. Out of your heart flow those issues of life. That's why it tells us, you know, attend to your word, attend to His words. "Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." You know, if we have problems that we need deliverance from, the key element is for us to go to God's Word first and foremost. Go to the Word. Attend to those words. Then we will have that healing that we need. That's where we get our healing from. Because faith is the bottom line. Believing God is the bottom line. You know, we don't attend to His words unless we believe them, do we? You know, His people didn't attend to them, to the words. He didn't keep them, you know, in the depth of thine heart, you know, if they didn't believe them. Verse 22 again, "For they, those words that God has written and provided to us, they are life unto those that find them, and health, healing to all their flesh." All their flesh. Marrow to the bones, refreshment to the bones, healing. It's the Word that heals. The Word of God believed can heal. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. Verse 26. Well, we better look at verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Exodus, right? 15. Verse 25. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. You know, because the waters were bad. Verse 23. We better go up to verse 23. And then they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which is bitterness. You know, it's, the waters are bad there. They didn't have anything to drink. And the people murmured against Moses saying, oh, what are we going to do now? You're so smart, Moses, here we are. Now we got nothing to drink. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's that. In Hebrew, it's, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. God has made healing available to His people. Always. Ever since they first needed it. They first needed it when Adam and Eve blew it. When they sinned in the garden, they brought upon all of man, all of God's man, the consequences of that sin, which was sickness and death. But God was there to heal them. That is God's mercy. That is the mercy of God. You know, He told them, don't eat of this particular tree of the garden. Everything else you can help yourself to, be blessed. They disobeyed, and so God had to cast them out of the garden and guard the way of the tree of life. That's why He put them out of the garden. Not because He didn't want them to stay there, but because had He allowed them to stay there, they would have partaken of that tree of life. And they would have been forever unredeemed. God had to get them out, and now they have to suffer the consequences. Now they have died spiritually. That connection with their Heavenly Father, now that day they died. And as a result of no longer having that, they had the consequences, which was sickness and ultimate death, physically as well as that spiritual death that they suffered that day. But God, being merciful, was still there to heal them when they needed. He knew that the consequence of that sin would be sickness. And so He would be there to heal him. He is the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The prerequisite for them in the Old Testament was to adhere to God's written word. Adhere to the word that Moses had provided for them. And if you do, look, He made the water sweet. He took care of that bitter water. He took care of the bad water. It's now, you can drink it. We have water. We have everything we need. Why? Because our God heals. He heals. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Right, Wallace? The benefits. Wallace mentioned it this morning. Right? All the benefits. Here's one of them. He forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. He healeth all thy diseases. Not just some. Some He can handle, some He can't. Oh, that one's just way beyond what God can do. No, He heals all thy diseases. From the littlest thing. From the stubbed toe to the cancerous liver. Whatever, it does not matter. God can provide that healing. He has always promised that. He's always promised it. God hasn't changed. He is still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Right? He forgives all thine iniquities. The reason that there is sin, or the reason that there is sickness in the world today, is not because of your sin or mine, but because of Adam's. That's why. And it affected all of mankind. All. You know? It's kind of reminiscent of when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Lord, Master, who sinned? This man? Or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, well, it wasn't his or his parents. You know, the reason he was born blind is so that I can heal him. How's that? Not that God made the man born blind, but that was just one of the things that was a result of that original sin. Sickness. Deformities, physically, but none of them beyond the power of God to heal. There is a prophecy in the Old Testament that we might get to that speaks of the Messiah bringing sight to the blind. And that is what Jesus was referring to when he said, you know, that the Word of God can be fulfilled. You know, I have a blind man in front of me who believes. Now we're going to fulfill Scripture because I'm here to even bring sight to the blind. Because it's a promise. Well, we should look at Isaiah 53. We'll look at it. Because it's a promise, we can expect it. Now, God has altered it a little bit through the different administrations. For Moses and Israel, God was the one who did the healing. It says in 53 of Isaiah, look at chapter 53. These are again things that we've looked at before, but we need to make sure that we're clear. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men. He is despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Grief is the word sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs, and that is the word sickness again in the Hebrew. He's borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem Him afflicted, is the word stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. With His stripes we are healed. It's what Jesus Christ accomplished that we have healing. They looked forward to that. They had the promise of God that He was Jehovah Rapha, that He was the Lord who healed them when they needed it. As long as they adhered to His Word and stayed put on His Word, they could expect God to take care of their illnesses and their sicknesses, that God would heal them. But they looked forward to something greater than that. They look forward to the Messiah coming when they wouldn't have to deal with this consequence of sin any longer. And ultimately, we do have that ultimate victory from it when the Lord returns and we get new bodies that are not going to be affected by sickness ever again. But here, look, why was he wounded? Why was he bruised? Why were we healed by his stripes? What was the reason that we needed healing? The reason we need it was for our iniquities, for our transgressions, our sin. Because all sickness is a consequence of that. All sickness is a consequence of the sin nature which we have in the flesh. Not that we sin and then we get sick. That's not it. Adam sinned, and therefore we now have to deal with it. But when we look to the Messiah, when we look to the Savior, we see that it was by His stripes that we were healed. It's His broken body that enables us to be healed, that we can have our healing now. It's still a promise. It's still a promise to us. And as a promise, we can expect it. You know, the problem is that we think that He hasn't solved the sin problem. That is part of the root issue of why we cannot seem at times to believe God and receive what He has already promised for us. Whether it be directly from Jehovah Rapha, or it be from your fellow believer who has been empowered with that ability to give you that gift of healing. We struggle with our worthiness to receive it. And yet the reason He was beaten was not so that we could be healed. The reason that He was beaten, the reason that He was bruised, is so that He could solve the sin problem. Both the shed blood and the broken body both have to do with the sin. And that's double emphasis for us, you know. He was bruised not for our sickness. He wasn't wounded because we were sick. He was wounded because of our iniquities. He was bruised for our sin, for our transgressions, because that is the root cause of why we have sickness. That's been dealt with. That has been dealt with once and for all. So we never have to deal with that again. We never have to consider when we find ourselves in a situation where we need something physically healed in our bodies. We never have to consider that God looks at us and says, wait a minute now. How you been this past week? Have you been telling little white chocolate lies to your granddaughters? To your granddaughters? Hey, Lynn, you brought it up, not me. But see, that doesn't mean anything anymore. Because that issue has been taken care of. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace, what? Was upon Him. Now we have peace with God because our iniquities, our transgressions have been dealt with once and for all by His sacrifice. He took on all of that. He took on our sins, and He took on the consequences of our sins, the sicknesses. So the chastisement of our peace, you know, because to be restored to peace with God when you have a problem with sin, needs chastisement. You know, to put it in the old King James, it just means reproof, correction, hand slaps, sometimes upside the head, sometimes, ding, come on, will you wake up? He took that. He took it. So now we are at peace with our Heavenly Father. Now we have that promise once again that by His stripes we are healed. It says in Peter that it puts it in the past tense, looking back at it. They were looking forward to it. And they were looking forward to this time when the Messiah would take on Himself their sicknesses that were due to their infirmity or their transgressions. They looked forward to that. Peter looks back at it and puts it in the past tense and says, by His stripes, we were healed. We were healed. The promise of healing is not in question. It should never be in question. There are some people that question that. Well, you know, has God really promised you your healing? I don't know. Why would He call Himself, you know, Jehovah Rapha? The Lord that sometimes heals. No. He is the Lord that healeth. And He proved it to him time and time again, didn't He? I mean, even before they got to that place where the bitter water was, didn't He have to get him out of Egypt? How did He get him out of Egypt? Oh, Lord, I'm sick. I can't make this trip. Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to wait on Him to get better. No, man, tonight's the night. The destroyer's coming. And you get that blood of the Lamb and you put it on the doorpost and on the lintel and you eat that Lamb because you're going to need the strength. You're going to need the healing. And when you eat it with your staff in hand, I'm taking you out. And He brought them out. And there was not one feeble knee among them, right? Isn't that what it says? And their sandals didn't even wear out. He took it a step further. He went way beyond what He'd promised. And that's our God, right? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And many times He does. He did for them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. They didn't come out of there hacking and coughing and sneezing. Right? They didn't. They came out of Egypt whole in every way. Healed. Because He is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that healeth. There's never been a problem with God promising healing. Ever. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. This is a tremendous key too, and it's often misunderstood. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this has to do with this communion, right? That commonly referred to as communion, which we all know, you know, it's the wine and the bread. See? When he had given thanks, this is Paul by revelation, you know, correcting, reproving and correcting the church at Corinth because they had forgotten the real purpose of sharing the bread and the wine and remembering what the Lord did for them when He was crucified. Verse 23, let's start there. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. The word broken there is not in the Greek text. This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember. Right? What did it say that we read in Isaiah 53? He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions, our sin. All of man's sin, he was taking it for. And after the same manner, and he said, remember that. You know, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I'm solving the sin problem, boys. I'm solving it. I'm taking it on myself. And because I've solved the sin problem, you'll be restored to your Heavenly Father and you will have that healing that you need. After the same manner also, he took the cup and supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The shed blood was for forgiveness of sin, yes, but it was also to establish a new covenant. To establish that new covenant. That New Testament. You know, whereas God had made covenants with people all throughout the ages, now he's making a new covenant with his people. One that involves the availability of healing, the availability of being sons of God now, and all the things that we have as a result of Jesus Christ and what he did. That's the new covenant, the New Testament. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You show it. You remember. You remind yourselves what he did for you. What he did for you. Well, he took on my iniquities. He took on my transgressions. He paid for them. And by his stripes, I was healed. But verse 27 reads, this is where their problem was. Wherefore, whosoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ, of the Lord. Guilty is in a sense of failing to benefit from it by not seeing the significance of it. You know? It's unworthy. It's improper. That's what unworthy means in the King James. It just, from the Greek, it's improper if you're not doing it properly. And what was the proper way? To do it in remembrance. This I'm telling you. This is what the Lord said that night that he was betrayed. He took the bread. He took the wine. He drank. He ate. And he said, remember what I'm doing for you. Because by my stripes, you are healed. Now we look back and we say, by his stripes, as we remember, we look back and we say, by his stripes, we were healed. My promise of healing is still there. It's still every bit as alive today as it was when he spoke to Moses and said, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. But let a man, verse 28, examine himself. To examine means to take a close look to see if you're remembering. Or are you just there to have some wine? Are you just there for happy hour? Which in Corinth, it was not a far stretch to expect that that's probably why many of them were there. You know, there's this group of people who call themselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they meet every night. These guys are together all the time. And a lot of times, they have wine and bread. Let's go. You know, it's a lot, and you don't have to leave the tip. I'm stretching it now. But that was not really too far. They were expecting just food and drink. They weren't remembering. They were doing it improperly. That's why he said, you better examine. You better take a close look. Why? Well, because when you remember, you won't have the problems that you have. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, again, improperly, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. The word discerning there means to determine what the Lord's body, what he gave himself for, represented to us. What it meant to us. That's what it means. You better determine what you're doing. What are you remembering? And when you do, look, if you don't, here's the judgment. Verse 30. For this cause what? Many are weak and sickly among you. And some sleep. Many sleep. Many of your believers even die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And that's in reference to you receive judgment to yourself. If you don't forget what the Lord accomplished for you, you will receive your healing. If you forget, you receive the other end of it, which is the judgment which has passed upon all flesh since Adam, which is sickness. This is fantastic. Because it all lies in just remembering what He's accomplished for us. And yet so many people want to say, oh, well, you know, you're sick because the Lord wants to teach you something. You're sick because you have not discerned the Lord's body. That's what He was telling them. And it's not supposed to be that way. Because Jesus Christ was the Son of the only begotten God, who is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals thee. If we would just judge ourselves, if we would just examine ourselves. Come on, remember. Remember what He did? Oh, yeah. That's why I'm eating this bread. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was wounded for my transgressions. I'm righteous before my Heavenly Father now because of what my Lord did for me. That cup that I sip of establishes that New Testament. That by His stripes I was healed. We have the promise of healing established to us. But it lies within our ability to believe God and to believe what His Word says in order to receive it. That's where the key lies. The issue is not God. The issue is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Was He a complete Savior or was He not? By His stripes we were either healed or we were, you know, almost healed. I'm almost healed. No, by His stripes I was healed. Look at Mark 9. To receive it then, is simply by believing that promise. To receive it, we must have faith, as it's translated in the King James many, many times. But this word faith is that Greek word pistis. And it's a wonderful word because it really is not something that we are given, that some people are given and some people have and some people don't have. It's something that we determine in our own heart and life what we're going to believe. Do we have faith? Well, it's up to us. See, because faith really is, it's confidence. It is trust. It's having an unswerving confidence and trust in what God has promised is true. That it's true. One of the scholars, one of the Greek scholars, Kenneth Woost, in his work, cited this Greek word pistis as having been used in the papyri, which were ancient writings, not biblical writings per se, but ancient writings. And they, within the papyri, this word pistis carries the idea of confidence in the person's character or motives. And confidence in the ability of another to perform a certain task. That's faith. Do we have confidence in God's motive and God's character? Do we have confidence in His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and His character, His motive, when He came and did what He did and said what He said? Do you have confidence in that? Do we have confidence in God's ability to perform a certain task that He's promised He'll perform? He calls Himself the Lord that healeth thee. Do we have confidence in His ability to bring that to pass? To do it? That's faith. That's believing. That's confidence, trust. And it's unswerving. You know, it's unshakable. That's really where we have to be. It says in Romans chapter 4, look at Romans. We didn't read. We got to read that one. I'm getting ahead of myself. Huh? Yeah, we better read Mark 9. Mark 9. See, I see sometimes. Over the years, I've seen this, and I'm sure you have too, and maybe even perhaps fallen into this at times, where we consider healing, and we know it's available, we know what the Word of God says, and yet sometimes we don't see it. And so we move into this frame of mind where we begin to seek for hidden keys to receiving it. Now, there must be something that I'm not seeing. Well, sometimes there is a lot that we're not seeing, but it's certainly not because it's hidden. Okay? It's not because it's hidden. You know? It's not because it's hidden. There are no hidden keys in God's Word. They're only hidden if we keep the book closed. Then they are hidden from our sight. But if we open this Word and we read, it's plain as day. It's plain as day. Mark, did I say 9? Right, 17. Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Meaning, you know, he couldn't speak. Not that he was dumb. Stupid. He couldn't speak. He was dumb. Okay? And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They couldn't do it. And he answered him and said, Oh, you sinners! How long are you going to sin? No. He said, Oh, you faithless generation, you generation without faith. How long shall I be with you? You know, I mean, and that's a rhetorical question. I'm not going to be here forever. See? I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be able to do it for you all the time. You must believe. How long do I have to suffer you? How long do I have to experience, go through this for you, do it for you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. You know, he's having, you know, the spirit is doing this to him. That's what the Word of God says. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And he said of a child, wow, he's had this that long. I mean, this isn't shocking to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he needs to know something. He asks. You know how simple that is. And yet, how we let that go by so many times. If we need healing, sometimes when we come to an individual that believes that they have the ability to do it, we should tell them what's wrong. Tell them, I need healing. Will you minister to me? My son? Me? Who? You know, I have this problem. He did that. And oft times, verse 22, it cast into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do it. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop right there. If you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to you if you believe it. All respects of the promises of God, and in this context, no matter how severe this miracle of healing seems that is needed, it's possible. What's the problem? It's possible. If we get our head and heart to the point of believing, if we believe, all things are possible. Right? And straightway the father of the Lord cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe what you're saying. Help me. And straightway, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, verse 25, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, he's killed him. He's dead. Yeah. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He rose. He rose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we do that? They'd healed people before. Why couldn't we do it? And he said unto them, you know, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The two most authoritative texts from the Greek omit this entire verse. It's not in the text. It's not there. This is what they refer to as interpolation. It's not that we spend long, long hours, maybe days of not eating, but that we, in that respect, spend a long time, spend hours committing our head and our heart to God and to His Word, and remembering what it says, like in Proverbs 3 where we started, right? That boy, we don't let those things forsake us. We keep our head knowledgeable of the truth of His Word, of His mercy. We write them on the tables of our hearts, committing ourselves to His Word, to embedding this Word of truth into our heart. Because when we've embedded it into our heart, then there is no more doubt left. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith does not come by seeing. It does not say that in God's Word. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You know, he spent a long time studying Scripture. He spent a long time putting it into his head and heart. There's records in the Gospels of Jesus Christ quoting, I think, I did a study on it at one point, but he knew over 100 Scriptures in his head. Just off the top of his head. It is written, it is written, it is written. And he, you know, verses of Scripture. Just ripping them off. He knew it because he spent time in it. That's why he had that confidence in his Heavenly Father that he would back up the things that he promised to him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You know, why couldn't his disciples do it? Because they hadn't spent that time yet. They hadn't convinced their own hearts yet. You know, that's all. There comes a time when they do some great things. Because when there's faith, everyone gets healed. Look at Luke. Chapter 4, It's by faith. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Look at Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, this is outside of Simon's house, after he'd healed Simon's wife's mother of a great fever, the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them. And healed them. Anybody in that community that had anybody in their family or, you know, that they knew that was sick, brought them to him. Come on. It's available. Remember? The Lord that healeth thee. He sent his man. His man's here. He's healing. Come on. They had no problem with that. These were not just the people that had been to synagogue every day for the past 20 years. These were the people that just sincerely in their hearts knew who Jesus Christ was and that He represented Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. They had no problem. They came and He healed everyone, all of them. When there is faith, there is healing. When there's confidence, when there's trust, there's healing. Acts chapter 5. These same disciples who could not heal that man's son. Eventually got to that place that their Lord was and saw great signs, miracles, and wonders as well. In Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Well, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. Verse 15. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the very shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. That's where their heart's believing was. You just get out in the street and if he walks by, you'll get your healing. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed. Everyone. 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 There must be that kind of confidence and trust. Not only on the part of that person coming to be healed, but the person that is going to give that gift of healing. 1 Corinthians speaks of the manifestation of gifts of healings. This is a manifestation of the Spirit. Why does it say gifts of healing? Healing's been promised. But the way that God's Word terms this manifestation, He never called it that in the Gospels. He waits until He describes that gift of Holy Spirit and its manifestations. The gift of the Holy Spirit has 9 manifestations to it. Speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy. We heard those this morning. Right? Those are manifestations of that gift. Right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healings. Those are manifestations of that gift that we have. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ moved among God's people and healed them, He was giving them gifts. That's why everyone got healed that believed. Because they didn't have to purchase it. The term gifts of healing, that term emphasizes the willingness of the giver to show favor to the recipient because He loves him. God loves us. These things, our healing is not something we earn. We simply believe that it is available. We come to the one who is believing to give us that gift and we receive it. It is not a difficult thing. Some people want to make it complicated. Some people want to make it difficult. Some people want to make it, well, there must be this hidden key that we're not seeing. No, it's a gift. Does that mean you can't demand it? Does that mean you can't expect it? No, I can expect it. Every one of those people came to the Lord Jesus Christ expecting healing. And what did He give them? Their healing. Everyone. Yes, we can expect it. Why? Because God is the Lord who healeth thee. And His Son was His Son who healed them. And now we have been provided that same privilege and that same power. Jesus Christ said in the book of Acts, right? To them, He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You go. You heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. You do it. You now have the power. Now that you have been healed, you are now the healers. We are the healed and we are the healers. Most people want to look at that and say, oh, you're out of your mind. I'm sorry. I'm gone. I'm done. I am no healer. Well, if that's what you believe. And yet, the Word of God says quite the difference, quite a different thing. Quite a different thing. Healing is a gift, yes. And it has a tremendous price attached to it. But the price has been paid by the giver. Not by us, the recipients. Jesus Christ just walked among God's people and gave them gifts. Here, you need healing? Here, take it. Oh, no, you don't have to do anything. Do you believe it? You believe? You believe? All things are possible to him that believeth. Okay, take your gift. Take your gift. We say, oh, no, I'd like to pay you for it. I'm sorry, there is no price. We went to a place the other night for dinner. Because Patty had was out somewhere and the guy came in, this new Japanese restaurant was opening up. And he had flyers. He had flyers. Come on, free food. Bring the flyer, free food. And so we come, and it did say on there, it said, free food, just, you know, purchase a drink. Free food, right? Purchase a drink. So we got there, and we're all, you know, here we are with our clan, you know, six or eight of us. I don't know how many there was that night. And, you know, so we come rolling in there, hey, free food, right? Right? Free food? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, free food. Yeah. Free food. You got fly? It said printed on the, instead of flyer, it said fly. And I thought that was really funny. I got fly here. Okay, we come down to the end of the line, to the cash register, and they give us our drink, and I'm ready to pay him for the drink. I'm going to pay you for the drink. And he goes, oh, no. No, it's free. Everything's free. That's, oh, no, let me pay you for the drink. No, it's free. It's free. And I looked at him, and I said, I believe you're telling me the truth. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we took our food, we went, and we enjoyed our food. And to me, it was just such a perfect illustration of what God has provided for us. Just like He did with His only begotten Son, who was there moving among His people saying, here, what do you need? I'm here to give it to you. It's free. Do you believe it? That's all I want to know. Do you have that confidence in my ability to perform this task for you? Do you have confidence in my ability, in my character, in my motive to just simply want to give you this? I don't want anything from you. I just want you to believe me. Here, take your gift. Gifts of healings. don't have to work. We don't have to pay. The price has been paid. Because by his stripes, you were healed. I don't know how God could have made it any simpler in his word. All throughout it, he emphasizes it. You know, throughout the Gospels, throughout the Old Testament, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Just adhere to my commandments. Just do what I've asked you to do. Just look forward to my Messiah. He'll be there, and he'll take care of this sin problem, and because of that, you're healed. Then he comes, and he just heals. Take it. Here you go. Gift. You need a little gift. It's just not a big deal. Here, take it. You got an issue of blood? Okay. Take the gift. Get cleaned. Oh, you got leprosy. Oh, be clean. It's that simple. When there is faith, when there is that unswerving confidence and trust in what God has promised, then we have it. That's what Romans talks of. That's what Abraham's example was. Abraham defines faith in Romans 4. He defines it. He considered his body, now dead. Sarah's womb, being past age, dead. No life there. But he was not weak in faith, giving glory to God. He wasn't weak because he believed God. For what he knew, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's the definition of faith. To be fully persuaded that what God has promised, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha, that he is able to perform. He's given you the ability. He's given me the ability. We've got the power of God within us. We have Holy Spirit. We have the ability and the privilege to go forth and give God's people those gifts that they need. The gift of healing, those gifts. Take it. When there's faith, they can be received. When there is a full persuasion that what God has promised, he's able also to perform. That's it. That's it. And that's what we endeavor to do day by day. You know, as we pray, as we commit ourselves to the truth of this word day by day, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're building our hearts believing, our hearts confidence, our hearts faith towards God and his promises. So that when the need arises, we give. When the need arises, we receive. No hidden keys. It's all right there. No elaborate formulas. You know, just simple believing. Simple confidence and faith, whatever you want to call it. See? It doesn't occur in our hearts when we lift our hands. Or when we bow. Or when we're on our knees. It happens in the depth of our hearts. When we have brought ourselves enough of this great truth into our hearts, into our minds, that our hearts believe, and it's at that moment that we receive. You know, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, that man believed for healing. He knew healing was available. He brought it to the disciples. They couldn't do it. They freaked out. They just freaked out. You know, we tried, we did, we couldn't do it, Master. No, that's okay. He didn't reprove them. He didn't tell them they were stupid. He said, that's okay. You just keep praying. You just stay committed to my Father's word. You just hang in there. You'll get it. And they did. They did. They went out and they healed. They delivered God's people. just like you and I do. We are the healed and we are the healers. If we need to receive a gift of healing, then we need to bring our hearts to that place of confidence towards God. Confidence towards that one ministering to us, that yes, that power is there. Yes, that ability is there to give us what we need. And then we receive. And then we go. And we bring it to others. It's a fantastic thing. I just love thinking about this stuff. I love considering this stuff because nobody else has promised me these kind of things. My doctor never promised me anything like this. And yet, God Almighty has made promises to His people for centuries, for thousands of years. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He's just changed how He's provided that healing a little bit through the years. It came through His Son, Jesus Christ. He set the example of how simple it is. Make sure they believe. And when they come to you, just give it to them. Give it to them. It's a gift. All you need to know is, do you believe? Good. Get here. Take it. And then to us. Now to us. For we are His ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have been clothed with power from on high. We have received what was promised on the day of Pentecost at the moment of the new birth. Each and every one has that same power, that same authority. Why do some do it? Some don't. Not because God favors one over another, but because some believe and some don't. That's all. So we must believe. What else is there to believe? It's more fun. What else would be more fun? See? So we work our hearts and minds to believe this. You know, and realize that it's simple. You know, it's simple. The simplicity that is in Christ and all the things that have to do with Him, it's simple. Because if it were too complex, none of us would be able to handle it. Yeah. So, enjoy. All right, Father, we are grateful for the things that You provided for us. Thankful, God, that we can continue to move forward with the greatness of Your power in our lives. And that as simple as it is to manifest speaking in tongues, we can manifest our healing. We can continue to minister healing to those in need. And God, we can continue to receive what we need day to day. If we need anything, that You're there for us. And that all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases, there's nothing too big for You. There's nothing too big for that Spirit of God that You've placed within us. Nothing that is too big. As we just simply believe You and have confidence in Your character, Your motive, Your ability to handle these tasks. And God, we're grateful that You've done all these things for us. Thank You for a great time together as we fellowship and enjoy one another's company. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.